Saints, this is Meenalee Grubbin with Faith for While Killing Ministries. Hope everyone's doing good today. Today is Wednesday, October 28th of 2020, and I'm coming to you today with a word that I would like to share with you. It's actually a compilation of multiple words that the Lord has given me over the last several weeks. I've been trying to figure out when exactly I wanted to do this video. I definitely wanted to put out at least one more video before the election. Just so that I can share with you all and so that you can also share with others what the Lord has given me specifically for the body of Christ in this season, his bride, and also a warning as a whole to the United States of America. So I want to start off by sharing with you all some things that the Lord given me as far back as approximately 3 weeks ago. One of the things I want to talk about is sharing with you all on general as the bride of Christ, what the Lord has spoken to me back on October 3rd in the wee hours of the morning. I found myself prostrated before the Lord, and the Lord was standing in front of me, and I had a tablet in front of me. It was a red tablet, and the Lord told me to write these words down. And what he spoke to me and said was that the body of Christ is bride, the church as a whole. Everyone that's in the church, as you know, is not a part of the bride, but the church as a whole is about to go through a season of great testing. And he said, for those who were solid in him, those who were ground rooted in him, they would pass the test, they would pass the season, and they would come out victorious. But for those who were not rooted in him, they would fall, they would waver and fall by the wayside. And so, and he allowed me to feel the intensity of what he was saying in that moment. Now, I shared this on our Watchman on Wall meeting that we had a week or so ago. I also put this in our autumn newsletter for Faithful While Killing Ministries. But I do understand that everyone wasn't on the Watchman on the Wall meeting that we had, which is a conference that we do, a phone conference. And I know that everyone is not necessarily signed up for our newsletters. So I wanted to make sure that I got this out on one final platform, again, before the election, to share with you all that we're going into a season of great testing, which is parallel for what the next thing that the Lord showed me, because this was all in the same night. So I had a vision as well where I saw Satan lurking. It was in the night. In fact, I saw his face in a sense. It was like almost like it was in the moonlight, but he was lurking. He was watching. He was searching. He was looking for something, someone, some people, some type of thing. And I was watching him from a distance, and I wanted to know, what is it that he was looking for? Like, why was he lurking in the night? And it was like, again, it was like it was in the moonlight that I could see him. And the Lord spoke to me, and this is what he said. He said that in this season, again, a great increase of demonic influence has been released upon the entire earth, this entire planet. And he said that in this season, it's already begun. And in this particular season, which if you don't know what season this is actually like the final season before the tribulation or the great tribulation that is mentioned by the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. So he said in this season that the demonic increase that was going to be happening upon the planet, that it would even be so, he says, that the demons themselves, and demons, if you don't know, are disembodied spirits. They're not fallen angels. Demons are disembodied spirits that look for hosts. And the Lord said that the demons were going to be literally possessing people to execute Satan's plans upon the earth. So the demonic activity has increased, but they're possessing people. And I mean, for many of you, if you've been paying attention to things, this probably already resonates with you and your spirit. If you're sensitive in the spirit, then you will know that the spiritual warfare has already amped up. We could say it for the entire year. Definitely in 2020, we have seen an increase of spiritual warfare. I myself have seen it. I know plenty of people who have experienced it. And the Lord is saying the reason why is because we're drawing to that time where the restrainer is about to be removed. And so, you know, the restrainer is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians. And so the restrainer, many people, Bible scholars agree that the restrainer is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And so, and Paul specifically mentions that, and that once the restrainer is removed, the man of sin or the lawless one, the son of perdition, the beast, the antichrist, it's all the same person, would be revealed. So he would make his debut. That is the time of the Great Tribulation, where the beast himself is given a reign of 42 months, which is 3.5 years. Which we see in both the book of Revelation, chapter 13, also, and we also see it again in Daniel as well. And so the Lord allowed me to feel, in a sense, like how close this was. And all I can explain to you is like there was just a thin veil between where we're at now and total darkness, blackness, demonic activity just completely consuming the earth. And there was just a thin veil in between that. And you could feel it, like I could feel it, like almost like it was pressing through. It couldn't penetrate, but it was pressing through. That veil being, in the sense, in putting it, you know, in words, the restrainer. But it's so close. We're so close to that restrainer being removed. And Satan knows this. I mean, this will be his, you know, 15 minutes of fame, so to speak. Satan, of course, as we know, is the god of this world, the prince of this world, as Jesus stated himself. But he gets his kind of 15 minutes of fame, as I like to call it, through the reign of the beast, or who we also call the Antichrist and the false prophet, that's mentioned in the book of Revelation, for that 3.5 year period or 42 month period, which is also during that time, the time of the mark of the beast. So we're really, really close to that season. And that is part of the reason why we've seen and felt, again, if you're sensitive in the spirit, which we all should be, okay, if you're like, well, no, I'm not sensitive in spirit, then I would check my spiritual growth. I would check my spiritual status. Because we should be aware of the season that we're in. We should be aware of the things that are around us. But if we're distracted and by things that are carnal, if we're being led by our flesh, then we become insensitive to what is going on in the spirit realm. And thus we don't understand the time and the season that we're in. And so if you, again, are in tune with that, then you probably already understand and resonate what I'm saying about this demonic activity that has increased upon the earth. And the Lord is saying that it will continue to increase, as again, he allowed me to see Satan lurking. And scripture tells us that he lurks at every corner seeking whom he can devour. And this is how the Lord allowed me to see him in the night, in this like moonlight type setting. He was lurking, and I was like wanting to know, what is he doing here? Like, what is his plan? I knew he was up to something. And to know that the demonic activity increasing to the point where people are being possessed, literally possessed by demons to execute Satan's plan, we need to understand, as the body of Christ, as the true saints, we need to know our spiritual warfare. One of the things that I have taught for years is the importance of understanding and knowing your authority, walking in your authority, because I have found over the years of ministry that there are so many saints in the body, you know, within the church, that do not know their authority. not only do they not know their authority, they don't take authority. You know, they may read the scriptures in Ephesians chapter 6, they may speak about, but they don't take authority. They don't take authority over their homes. They don't take authority over their own bodies. They don't take authority over their communities. The only time people want to get together is, you know, when they want to gather together and because they think that the nation's going to fall apart. Now we're all going to gather together in a park somewhere and we're going to ask God for mercy. That's not taking authority over the demonic realm. That is it. And so, you know, Jesus left us with authority. He said he had given us the authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. He has given us the authority over all the powers of the evil one. He gave us, he left us with this authority. With Christ living in us and with the unction of the Holy Spirit, we have the authority to come against that which is wicked. But again, a lot of people are frightened by the spirit world. They feel like, well, I don't mess with that because, you know, or if I don't mess with that, then it won't mess with me. And this is that's a very fatal way and dangerous way of thinking, spiritually speaking, because if Satan knows who does not know his authority, who does not know or walk in their authority, Satan is very aware of it. And so, again, in this season, as we are supposed to be drawing closer to Christ, you know, as the darkness grows darker, we, as salt and light, should increase. We should, our light should grow brighter. Our salt should not lose its flavor. And we should be able to stand in the authority as soldiers, generals even, in the army of Christ, so to speak, to be able to wage war and go to battle and come out victorious. That's the other key. Not go into battle and come out, you know, naked and wounded, but actually be able to go into battle and come out victorious, overcoming the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, loving our lives, loving not our lives, I should say, even unto death, understanding that we are not battling against flesh and blood. That is not where our battle is. And so I just wanted to like kind of reiterate that in this season, because we are going through a season of dark activity and darkness. Again, we've seen a lot of that here in 2020. We've seen it across the world. We've seen it here in the United States. We've seen it. Some of us have seen it within our own homes, within our own marriages, families, so on and so forth, extended family. Some of you have seen it within your own church. There has been a war that has been waged against the saints. But the Lord is saying, if we stand in him, if we're ground rooted, if we are planted on the good soil and we've taken root in him, the one who is unshakable, then we will come out victorious. We will succeed. We will get through this season, and we will come out as overcomers. The end of this season, I need to add, saints, is not the end of this season where we've taken back an economy or a nation or, you know, the seven mountains, or the end of this season is our victory comes sitting at the marriage supper of the Lamb, because we are at the end of the age. This is it. This is the end. So I want to clarify that this whole, you know, victorious is not like, you know, it's not bringing the kingdom of God to earth. I mean, of course, Christ, when he returns from millennial reign, he will reign for 1,000 years, but for us, for this is our last, so to speak, for the church, we're at the end of the age, we're at the end of the dispensation of grace. Our victory will be the fact that we will be sitting at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So the other thing I wanted to also share with you all, so I also put this in our newsletter, and I mentioned this on the Watchman on the Wall, again, that we had about a week or so ago, almost a week and a half ago. So some of you all will remember, this was sometime last year, I had mentioned in a video about how the Lord had spoken to me and told me, it was very random, it seemed at the time, but we have to understand, I don't like to use the word random with the name of God or Christ and the same sentence, because there is nothing random about the Lord. There's nothing random about the word of God. There's nothing random about prophecy, okay? But at the time, I couldn't connect the dots, so to speak. The Lord had spoke to me over a year or so ago, and he had said to me, watch for the country of Belarus. And I didn't know anything about Belarus at the time, except that I knew that it was, you know, in Europe somewhere. The Lord said that Belarus would be a sign to what was coming to America. So again, this was a little over a year ago. So I began to do research on the country of Belarus because I wanted to educate myself about, you know, what this country was all about, like their ties, what have you. And at that time, which was last summer, Belarus was working with Vladimir Putin, and forgive me because I don't know how to pronounce the president, the president's name of Belarus, and I don't want to try it either. So basically, the president and Belarus and their government was working with the Russian government and the president of Russia, which is Vladimir Putin. And at that particular time, they were talking about making a type of alliance where they would join Russia, or basically kind of like allow Russia to come in and run their government or make a military alliance, because Belarus was formerly a part of the USSR, which was the Soviet Union, before what we call the Iron Curtain that fell during the Reagan administration in 1989. Some of you all are old enough to remember that. I clearly remember that. And then, of course, after the USSR fell, a lot of the countries that are modern-day countries in Europe, part of European Union, others are north of what is considered to be part of the Middle East, so to speak, became their own independent countries. They basically declared their independence from the Soviet Union when it broke up. Some of you may know that Russia's goal and dream is to recreate the USSR again, or recreate the Soviet Union once again. And we've seen, if you paid attention to international news, then you know we've seen, you know, the battle with Russia. We remember what happened in, I believe, 2013 when they went in and annexed Crimea and the Ukraine, and there was all the battle with that. So Belarus was working with Russia last year, talking about basically like joining this realliance of, like, in a sense of trying to recreate the Soviet Union. And so at the time, I felt it was really significant because, again, the Lord has given me multiple dreams over the last 3 or 4 years, maybe 4 or 5 years, regarding Russia, regarding Russian troops invading America, wars, Gog and Magog, things of that nature. The Lord has shown me quite a few things over the last 4 or 5 years. So when I saw this last year, I began really paying attention to it because I felt that this is, you know, okay, Lord, you told me to watch for Belarus. So I'm saying, okay, it's going to be involving with Russia. You know, this is probably going to be tied into Russia's dealings with the United States, possibly even an invasion of Russian troops or so on and so forth. And again, there's prophecies out there. Some of you may be aware of prophecies like Dmitry Dudeman and others who had been shown Russia coming into this country along with others like China. So this is where my mindset was going at that time when the Lord was showing me watch for Belarus. So that kind of went in, those headlines went in, and then it kind of faded out. And so interestingly, this summer, so a whole year later, something really unique happened in the month of August. Belarus had another presidential election this year. And the current president, of course, claimed the victory by a landslide, declaring victory once again. Now, this president that's currently sitting has been in office, I believe, since 1992. So he's been in there, you know, over 30 years at this point. But this time what has happened is the people rose up and they were like, no, this election was rigged. This is fraudulent. The people, the young and the old, began to protest, even riot against in the streets against the government, against the police, calling for the resignation of this president and all of his cabinet. Here we are in the month of October. We're going into 3 months after the election, because the election was in the very beginning of August. And of course, we're rolling into the beginning of November. So 3 months later, they are still protesting. They're still rioting. It's the battle between the police people. And there's just complete and total civil unrest in the country of Belarus. And the numbers, I got to see this, have grown so substantially. They're now in the hundreds of thousands. They say it's the largest protest that they've ever experienced in this small country. It's not a very large country at all. So when you've got protests of over 100,000 people in a country as small as Belarus, it's very significant. It frightened the government of Belarus and the current president so much that he actually has reached out to Russia. Now, Russia hasn't made an initial action yet. As of yet, they haven't taken action yet. But they've actually reached out to Russia, asking Russia to come in and basically help them to control the people, because they're afraid of a complete takeover and possibly even a collapse of the whole country. Because the people, they've gone on strike. The workers, I mean, just for basic things, the public schools and public transportation, so they've gone on strike. And so the country is slowly coming to a screeching halt. And they're saying that they're refusing to return to normal until this president resigns. So it's during this time, Saints, that the Lord let me know that this is what he wanted me to see. Now, again, this is completely different from what I was suspecting when he first said to me last year, I want you to watch for the country of Belarus. It will be a sign as to what's happening, what's going to happen in America. It's this. It is the Lord was and is warning of civil unrest that is coming to this, to the United States of America, to this country. And I need to warn you, and I've been saying this most of the year, but this is kind of my final statement, I guess, before the presidential election that's literally going to happen in less than a week from now. I want to warn, and I want to prepare the church for what's about to come. And really, honestly, it should not even be a surprise. I mean, if you paid attention to what they're saying in the news, both sides, it doesn't really matter which side it is, then you have to know that this is not going to go over smoothly. It's not. And the Lord has been continuously showing me things this year, specifically this year in 2020. Many times he's shown me a civil war coming to this country, a mass of civil unrest. I've spoken about it. I actually first spoke about it, about unrest coming in December, when the Lord told me, and again, that was a Watchman on the Wall meeting, but I talked about it in my video in January, for those of you who only follow us on YouTube, where I talked about this revolt coming amongst African Americans. The Lord continued to show me throughout 2020, this, it isn't over yet. Even with the protests, with the shootings that took place, the killings, and the riots seen in the protests that went over in the summer, the Lord kept saying, it's not over. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. Keep watch. Don't slumber on this. And so he has continued to let me know there is a full civil war coming to the United States of America. And so I want to share a dream that I had a couple weeks ago, because I need you all to also understand this. And I truly believe this is from the Lord. Of course, you know, even with these videos, and I'm going to go through a scripture that the Lord has given me as well. Like, I want to try to collaborate everything together in this video. But as I told all of you all, everything that you hear on this video, you know, take it to prayer. Take it to prayer. Please test the spirit with the Holy Spirit, who is the truth bearer, who does not waver, the God who casts no shifting shadow. Take it to prayer for confirmation, saint, for specific individual instructions. The Lord has been given instructions for the last couple of years to a lot of people. I know I've been in contact with quite a few folks. Some of them were friends, acquaintances even of mine. And God has shifted a lot of people around in this season. Some people have relocated. People have done different things. God is just, you know, and that was what the Lord wanted. He said that there would be a season where, you know, people would be able to come, people would be able to go, and those who needed to rise up would be able to rise up. But that door, and some of you all remember me specifically talking about this in my video in March at the beginning of quarantine. This was something that the Lord told me, that it would take place, the window of opportunity would take place in the fall. And that people would be able to get where they needed to be and position those who were listening, okay? And positioning is not always the physical, even though for some in the body of Christ, that meant physically moving, leaving, relocating, whatever the case may be. You know, some of people have been tucked away into places of safety, even. Some have gone off grid. I know a couple of people have actually gone off grid. They're, you know, God has just completely tucked them away. But also the spiritual standpoint of, you know, what I continue to reiterate about the importance of obeying the Lord, hearing his voice, obeying those instructions. You know, I've said for years, you guys, you've got to hear God's voice for yourself. You got, not through the voice of a prophet, not through the voice of a pastor, or a YouTube video, a Periscope, or, you know, I mean, God can speak to us through those ways, yes, but it's an individual walk. These people, myself included, we can't get anyone into heaven. You have to have that individual relationship with Jesus Christ, and you have to know his voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and I've preached this for at least the last 5 years, if not longer, continuously. And I can't emphasize it even more because of where we're going into. Now, going back a little bit to what the Lord said to me in March, which, again, you can go back to that video and look at it. It was the video where he was talking about how he was going to use the virus, the man-made virus, to execute judgment, which has happened. But that season for people to be able to get into position of where they needed to be spiritually and some, you know, physically, that window would close. He never gave me a time frame, but he said that it would close and phase two of the judgment would begin. So the Lord had given me a few years ago that there would be like three phases of judgment upon America. This was going back 2-3 years ago. And so he let me know in the spring of this year that once that window would close after the fall, that the fall of this year, by the way, that it would bring in phase two of the judgment, specifically for the United States. Okay. All right. So that being said, let me share the stream with you because I don't want to get off kilter too much. So in this dream that I had a couple weeks ago, I saw President Trump, and he was writing a letter, and he was writing a letter with blue ink. I don't know why that probably is not significant, but I just want to note that on a piece of notebook paper, college rule notebook paper that you would use in school. Okay, so nothing fancy, just a piece of notebook paper and a blue pen. And he was writing it, but he was addressing the country. And he was talking about the election. And in the dream, it was just him and this letter and you know, him, this pen and this paper in the dream, okay, nothing else. But he was addressing the American people in reference to what had taken place with the election. So what I could read and decipher was that something, and I don't know what the details were, but I'm just going to tell you what how I saw it, okay? Because I truly believe this was from God. Something had happened with the ballots. There was some confusion, and something had gone on with the ballots, and he was writing about it. So he was right. So for whatever reason, instead of making an announcement or whatever the typical protocol was, he was writing to people. Now, I'm not saying that this is the way it's going to end, but again, this is how it went in the dream. And he was saying that I'm writing to you today to give you the official numbers from the election. And so he writes his name at the top, and then next to his name, he writes out so many thousand votes, okay? And I don't remember the exact number, but it was in the thousands. And then below him, he wrote Biden's name. And then next to Biden, he wrote so many ballots, or votes, I should say, not ballots. And the number between him and Biden was very significant, like very significant. Basically showing that Trump had won the presidency. And so he wrote at the bottom, because of these votes or what have you, he says, you know, I hereby, you know, Donald J. Trump am informing you all that I will be your president for another or for the next 4 years. And he signs his name. As he's signing his name, again, all I see is this letter and his handwriting this letter. So I need you to understand, like, you know, I'm trying to build a visual for you all. But as he's signing his name, it was like in the background, you know, before the whole time it was like completely silent. But then all of a sudden in the background, I could hear just this enormous amount of noise erupted as he was signing his name. Like it started like right when he was writing, I'm going to be your president for the next 4 years. How can I describe this noise? This noise was crashing sounds, burning sounds, people yelling. I heard gunshots. I heard just total chaos and confusion. Just like total chaos and confusion. I didn't see it, but I could hear it happening, almost like it was taking place behind him, so to speak, like background noise. And that was pretty much the end of the dream. And so this tied into the other things that the Lord has given me, you know, the visions he's given me of this civil war. Like, I mean, on the 4th of July, again, I wrote this in our newsletter, the 4th of July, I was up in the mountains. I was in the Smoky Mountains with my husband, and it was our first getaway, our only getaway really of the year. We're used to traveling on a regular basis. And of course that had not taken place this year because of COVID, but we were able to get away into the Tennessee mountains during the 4th of July. And the whole time I was there, I mean, this has happened to me before, going on vacation, thinking I'm getting away to vacation. And then it'd be a time that's completely absorbed with something that the Lord wants to show me or give to me. And this was no different. And so this happened on the 4th of July. I mean, the whole entire night, I mean, it just went on and on, vision after vision after vision. I remember just like being so restless and even asking God, is this you? Is it, you know, is this the devil messing with me? Like, and I remember the Lord telling me, like, I felt the peace. He spoke to me. He was like, it is me. I'm showing you this. But he continued to show me, you know, what was coming, a civil war. I saw, again, another black revolt amongst African-Americans. I saw children being taken hostage. It was terrible. Just, I can't even really describe to you in words what I saw. Like, I don't even want to put it out publicly, what I saw. It was just awful. It was awful. And frightening. It wasn't frightening to me, but it's frightening to someone who is not used to seeing in the spirit, or people who are just have just fallen asleep, and they just have no idea what's, you know, really going on right now in this season. And so, you know, and he was telling me then, the 4th of July, he's letting me know, you know, this is coming. This is what's coming. This is what's coming. So all of this is tied into this season of great testing that the Lord is saying that the church is going to go into. Be like, okay, well, of course, the church is not limited to the United States of America. No. The church, the body of Christ, you know, is a part of the whole world in every country. But that demonic activity that the Lord was talking about, that I was telling you all, that he showed me a couple weeks ago, it was for the world. It's worldwide. There's just a worldwide unrest that is happening and is going to continue to happen and continue to increase. Another thing the Lord showed me that I want to make sure I don't forget to mention to you all, even though this is a repeated situation as well, he let me know once again, there is a famine coming, a food shortage famine coming. This time I saw what we consider to be non-perishable items. Like I saw a shortage of that, like cereal and stuff like that, like box food, I guess is what you would call it. I'm not really sure why, but the Lord was reiterating we needed to stock up on these things because there's a shortage. And some of us have actually already experienced that shortage. I mean, COVID definitely brought a shortage of not just household goods, but food products, produce, non-perishable items. We saw some places still have limitations on how much of it you can buy. Some stores are still facing that. And the Lord is just reiterating that this is going to continue. And it's not going to get better. And you know, we're heading towards the end of 2020 and people are, you know, I've seen funny memes that I thought was hilarious, you know, about, you know, there's all these 2020 memes that are out there and about how terrible 2020 is. One of my favorite ones that I saw was a baby jar full of, what was it, jellied or cream gefilte fish, which is, it's kind of a Jewish joke. Anyways, they were like, if 2020 was in a jar, you know, this is what it would be. And it just cracked me up, you know, because I know a bunch of people that hate gefilte fish. And, you know, anyways, you would have to have ate that type of food or be Jewish to understand that whole joke. But, I mean, there's a lot of memes that are out there. And it's funny. It's, you know, some people say we have to laugh to keep from crying in a sense. But what I want you all to understand is that I don't want you to be under the illusion that 2021 is going to be better, because it's not. And I definitely don't want you all to be under the illusion that this president getting in for another 4 years is going to be a smooth, easy, praise God, you know, peace and safety transition, because it will not be. If we thought things were chaotic 4 years ago, hold on to your hats. I honestly don't even know what's going to be the end result of this, but I can tell you it's not going to be good. I don't know the details, and maybe I do. Maybe it's, this is all of what the Lord has been showing me this year. And not just myself. I mean, I by no means will put myself on a pedestal. There are so many people out here who God has been showing these things for months, years. He's speaking and we're not listening. You know, we want good times to come. We want things to be better. The American dream is over. The church building age, the church building, not the church age, even though the church age has come to an end, but the church building age is over. Things are not going to ever be the same again, Saints, because like the Lord showed me a couple of weeks ago, that veil is so thin that the darkness once is ready to penetrate and burst through. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is not in the stock market. It's not in your 401k savings accounts or IRAs. It's not in Donald Trump. It's not in the government. It's not even in your pastor, your prophet, or your mentor, or whoever. Your hope has to be in Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, and Him only. Because we're in the time of sorrow. And I know some of you, you know, there's all these debates on the rapture. Is there a rapture? And how long the tribulation is? Is there, you know, all this, is the church here for? But it doesn't matter what your beliefs are. I'm going to just tell you a fact. The fact is that the seals have already been broken. Not all of them. But we're already in the breaking of the seals. The Lord gave that to me 2 years ago in 2018. He had me to put it out on our Watchmen on the Wall page, on our ministry page. And, you know, he told me, he says, I want you to put it out. I was like, Lord, you know, this is going to cause this and the, I wasn't even sure when he showed it to me. I was like, am I looking at this correctly? You know, and yeah. And so, and then I put it out. It was 2018, the summer of 2018, if I'm not mistaken. We're already in the seals. Okay. We're not at the Great Tribulation, you know. I just can't reiterate to everyone how short time is and how we have got to wake up. And we've, you know, I've said in the beginning of this year, the only word that is left is repent and prepare. There is no word left that's saying God's going to heal our land and only if we cry out and oh, you know, you need to individually repent yourselves and individually make sure you are where God wants you to be. Individually make sure that your robe is washed, that your lamps are filled, that you can hear the voice of God, that you are following the instructions of the Holy Spirit and living according to His word and bearing fruit. That's all that's left. All of this, you know, mass production, you know, fast assembly line stuff is malarkey. If you don't know what that is, go look that up. It's dung. Okay. I want to leave you with a scripture that the Lord gave me with all of this stuff that He has spoken to me. He gave me Ezekiel chapter 14. I'm not going to read the entire chapter. He gave me the entire chapter. So for you all, when you have time, I encourage you to read this entire chapter. By the way, I do want to also input that when he told me that the season of testing, of great testing, was coming to the church, the scripture that he gave me for that was Psalm 35. So again, mark that down, write that down. He said that we should pray or use the psalm prayerfully, meditate upon it. It's talking about deliverance from the enemies, okay? Psalm 35, but Ezekiel chapter 14 is what I'm going to go into. This is what the Lord gave me when he was talking to me about the Civil War coming, the things he was showing me about the dream, about the president, and basically this second phase of judgment that we will be entering into, okay? So I'm going to read just a part of maybe half the chapter or so, but I'm not going to go into it. But again, I want to encourage you to read that entire chapter. So I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version, and we'll go through this, and then we'll wrap it up, okay? So Ezekiel chapter 14 opens up with, now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. And of course, this is Ezekiel speaking. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? Therefore, speak to them and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, everyone of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, because they are all estranged from me by their idols. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent, turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from all of your abominations. For anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel, who separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of the people. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet is induced to speak anything, I, the Lord, have induced that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people Israel. And they shall bear their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be the same as the punishment of the one who inquired, that the house of Israel may no longer stray from me, nor be profane anymore with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people and I may be their God, says the Lord God. Now I want to just break that down. That's Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. I want to break that down real quick for you all and what the Lord is saying in that statement quickly. Basically, these people were coming before the prophet Ezekiel to inquire, to hear what the Lord is saying. What is the Lord saying? You know, what should we do? But the Lord was judging the heart. You know, the Lord talks about how he judges the hearts and the reins. He tries the hearts, the reins, the hearts and the motives of men. He was saying that their idols were in their hearts. So on the outside, they seemed like they were inquiring of the Lord. They seemed like they were interested in what the prophet had to say. But the Lord was looking at their insides. He was looking at the darkness of their heart. In their heart, he was not first and center of their life. The first commandment that was given to Moses was, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. And so an idol is not just, you know, we think of idols, we think of statues, we think of, you know, Buddha, totem poles, Krishna, Hindu gods, whatever. But idolatry can be many forms, and I've said this for years. You know, idolatry can be your church. I mean, I've watched people idolize their churches, their pastors. Let's talk about the group of evangelicals in America who have idolized this president. And they're like, oh, well, that's not true. Yes, it is true. It's not every single evangelical. It's not every single believer, Christian. It's not every single person that voted for Donald Trump. But the unfortunate truth is that there is a large group of them. And how do you know that it's an idol? Well, I'll just say this. I just saw several days ago, I saw one of the most repulsive, and I do say repulsive and blasphemy portraits of Donald Trump that I've ever seen in my whole life. And actually, I've seen quite a few in the last 4 years since he's become president, but this one was just complete blasphemy. I was disturbed to the core of my spirit. And the portrait was Donald Trump on a cross, nailed to a cross like Christ, and he had the American flag tied around his loins, and they showed the Democrats, and specifically Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats, I couldn't recognize the other one in this painting, Nancy Pelosi had the spear in her hand, and she was getting ready to jab it in his side, and then there were other Democrats in the background. So basically the Romans that crucified Jesus were portrayed in this portrait as the Democrats. And they had Trump hanging on the cross like Jesus Christ. You know, my thought process was fear God and live. Like, to take anyone, I don't care if it was Trump, Barack Obama, Mickey Mouse, you know, Howard Stern, it doesn't matter. Anyone who is being portrayed on a cross in the manner that my Lord and Savior, the lover of my soul, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is total blasphemy. That's total blasphemy. It's a mockery and it's disgusting. I don't care who it is. I don't care how good of a person you think this person is. It doesn't matter. It's a mockery. It's blasphemy. It's idolatry. Okay? And to know that people actually are praising this portrait and sharing it on their social media, I wouldn't even share it. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And it's a mockery to the King of Kings who came and died for all. No one can take his place. No one. Not a single soul on this earth breathing and have left this earth can take his place ever. And so, yeah, there is idolatry of this president. And there's other forms of idolatry. We can idolize the American dream. When people put patriotism before truth, before the Ten Commandments, you know, what does cuss say? You can't put your country before the word of God. I'm sorry. I don't care what you, how much you like it. You know, we're not citizens of this life. We should have no attachment, you know, to this life. I'm not saying destroy your country. I'm not saying don't pray for it, but there's a difference between idolatry and patriotism, the patriotic idolatry, and just simply respecting your country. Okay, there's a great line in between that, okay? Or I should say a fine line in between that. I don't want to go off on a tangent, but the Lord is addressing the idolatry in this situation. The idols that, the idolatry that was in their hearts. And again, this is for the church. He's not talking about the world. He's not talking about the unbeliever. This is the scripture for those who claim to be a believer, those who say, Lord, Lord, who claim that Christ is their Lord. He's looking at your heart. What are you really? You know, you're inquiring as though you're interested in hearing what the man of God or the woman of God has to say. But what's in your heart? And the Lord was angry because they had idolatry. He says that it caused them to stumble and go into iniquity. Iniquities are hidden sins. Hidden sins. It's not the, you know, the there's the external sins and then there's the internal sins. Iniquities are internal sins. And but then he said something really unique. He said that if they didn't turn from their idolatry, they basically changed their ways, he was going to send a prophet or prophets, I should say, who would basically give them what they wanted to hear. And then he would judge both that false prophet in the sense and the people as well. So he would send them prophets to tell them what they wanted to hear. And I'm going to tell you today, there are plenty of those, at least, and there are plenty of those across the planet, okay? Because I can name some even in countries in Africa right now, okay? There are, I just had to put that out there, but definitely in the United States, and there's and even in Europe, because I've got friends there. You know, there's some in the UK, you know, people are telling peace and safety, everything's going to be all right. They're lying. Everything is not going to be okay until we are home at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But in the United States, we're full of that. We're full of these so-called prophets to the nations and modern day Elijahs. And we got all these titles for these people that are on these programs, on these television programs, on these, you know, some of them are on social media, and they're spoon feeding you what tickles your ears and allows you to become complacent in your sin by telling you, oh, everything's going to be okay. We're going into the greatest time of our life. We're going to have all this wealth transfer. We're going to take over seven mountains. We're going to have this billion soul harvest. You know, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and everything's going to be okay. And they're lying to you. But God, I found it to be interesting that the Lord said in those verses from 9 to 11, he said, I will send them to you because you won't change your heart. I'm going to send them to you to basically make you get solid, solidify your punishment by sending them and to tell you what you really want to hear. You want to hear that we got all this extra time left. You want to hear that you can retire. You want to hear that America's going to be great again. You want to hear that your children, you're going to grow up to see your children have children. And you want to hear that, you know, you're going to have the stock market's going to go up and you can retire on your IRAs. And God is saying, I'm going to send the people to tell you that. I'm going to send them to tell you that. To solidify your punishment for not seeking me, the Lord is saying. For not hearing the whole truth and turning away from your wickedness. I like what he says. He said, repent. Turn away from your idols, he said in verse 6, and turn your faces away from all of your abominations. Repent. I've said all the only thing that's left is repent. Not this cheesy, oh, Lord, we thank you. We ask you to bless this nation. No, repent, sackcloth and ashes. Not your arrogance and your three-piece suits and your little pinky rings and you're standing out there with your shofars and your prayer shawls and you're out there waving flags and all that stuff. No, God is not interested in none of that. Sackcloth and ashes. And that is something that we are not doing. And that is the reason why judgment is here. And it will continue. Ezekiel chapter 14, read the whole chapter. Take it to prayer for confirmation. Prepare. The next 4 to 6 months, I'm going to give you a time frame, is going to be extremely critical between now and next Passover. We need to be in a state of fasting and praying, say. We need to be rock solid in Christ. We need to do away with our idols, do away with our transgressions and iniquities, repent, lay flat before Christ, find out what it is that's stopping you from coming higher, that's preventing you from digging deeper, and get rid of it. Because all that matters now is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Does he know you? That's all that's going to matter. That's all that's going to get you through this next season. Judgment is at hand. Repent, repent, repent. I want to thank you for letting me into your homes today. As always, God bless all of you all. Until next time, shalom.